Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, we're going to start a new series this morning, so you might want to buckle down. Buckle in and buckle down, because it's going to be a good one. And I want to just read through some things that I've felt like. If you'd like, you can open to Philippians. That's in the New Testament, and I know the guys will be putting some scriptures up on the screen. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read a few things here first that I feel like the Lord has given me for us and for the church, and it's going to be good. How many brought your faith this morning? You came expecting. Amen. We're not just here to sit on the comfy chairs, even though the comfy chairs are nice. You ever been to a church with all wooden pews? Yeah, they test your faith through the whole thing. Praise God. So let's pray together. Let's unite our faith together right now. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we expect to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, you know us best. You know what we need. Father, as a pastor and a minister, the gift that is within me, I yield it to you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak through me. I yield myself to you for utterance and boldness and love to speak as you would have me speak in truth, but saturated in the love of God. Father, I know that you have desire that we increase around here, not only individually, but corporately as a body, spirit, soul, and body. And so, Father, as we move in obedience to you, we know that the exercising of our faith produces endurance and strength. And we reap the peaceable fruit of righteousness out of that. And so we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for your word to direct us, to light our paths, to teach us, to instruct us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and to bring us into a greater representation as your ambassadors in the earth of heaven, of Christ, and of the resurrection in our day-to-day lives and in our world. We're thankful for our place here. We're thankful for our place in our families. And we're thankful for our place in this city. And we give you the honor and glory for everything that will be done in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, so I just want to read to you a few things. If you'll bear with me, just hang on to your spot there in Philippians chapter 1. And we'll get there. So Christmas is right around the corner. 2019 is right around the corner. Right now we are in a very busy season. And another year of our lives here on earth will be coming to a close. The bringing in of a new year often causes us all to reflect on the last year and then dream about the one we are coming into. Facebook is a picture montage you can put together of the previous year's events. And soon you will be hearing more and more about New Year's resolutions. How many love those? How to make more money. Anybody ever heard those? How to lose weight. Because, you know, as soon as the holiday season is over, you got to shed what you gained on the holiday season. How to strengthen your family, etc. As this year is coming to a close, I have reflected on what the Lord has done in the individual lives from personal testimonies that have been shared with me to what we have seen God do in increasing the church. And then in the last 2 or 3 months by the prophecies declaring to us increased. It has caused me to pray with more intensity and focus. When a word from God is given to the church, it is a serious thing and should be taken with the greatest of respect and sincerity by the listener. Specifically, the prophetic word that was given by Pastor Larry Phelan and the word given by Mark Dunn last Wednesday. People say, I don't know about that word. The audio is available on the website, and so is the video on Facebook. I recommend that you go listen to the whole message. Many times when it comes to vision in a church, people can easily pass off the word as the responsibility of the pastors or leadership and miss what God is saying to them. Paul said this to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:20. You can write it down. Please don't turn there. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. But test and prove all things until you recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. The word despise means to depreciate. It means least esteemed. It means to regard as nothing. Now, what does that give you a picture of? How many think, when Pastor Larry was here, that God knew who was in the room? Did God know what church Pastor Larry was at? Or was he in heaven going, no, that's the wrong one. No, not that one. No, he knew exactly where he was. So the word that came forth, what we need to do is test it against the scripture and see if it's right. Amen? We need to judge it. We need to judge it against the scripture, and then we need to judge it against our own heart. Did it speak to me? Did the Holy Spirit witness with my spirit? Yeah, that's right. How about Wednesday? When Mark shared what he did that the Holy Spirit had given to him. Did God know where Mark was? Did God know who Mark was speaking to by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he knew. Now, when you are sitting in a place and the Holy Spirit has led you to a place and you're there, you weren't just a guest brought by somebody. I mean, God will speak to those people too. But you know, and I've had this said to me, I don't know how many times, the Lord told me to come here. Did God know what would be spoken from the pulpit or in conversation or around the pulpit? Did God know the words that were going to be spoken from that place? And did he know you were going to hear them? Yes. He knew. So what happens, and I've seen this through the years, is that people will despise things that come forth for whatever reason. Sometimes, and I've done this myself, people will hear something, and I've done it, I'll hear something and go, oh no, that's not for me. In other words, I did what? I despised it. No, that's not for me. And then later, thankfully, somebody say, by the grace of God, you get to praying or looking at something, and the Lord brings back to you what was said. Did you know that hardness of heart is easily recognizable on the face? People think they're hiding it. They're not. It's recognizable. Have you ever tried to go talk with somebody or have a conversation with somebody? Or how many have ever done this? You're a salesperson and you go up to somebody and you begin to talk to them and you can tell right away inside, this is going nowhere. But then there's others you walk up to and you go, this is what I have. And you can tell they open up to you. They open their life to you just a little bit, just enough to where you can tell, oh, there's going to be some reciprocation here back and forth. I'm going to be able to have a conversation. How many are married? Go ahead, raise your hand. I'm not going to call for testimonies. How many have ever gotten to with your spouse and you realize, we need to cool off because there's not going to be any reciprocation back and forth? The rest of you, there's repentance after the service. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been married. I don't care how sanctified you think you are. You are two different people with two different minds. And when you come together, there can be conflict. Amen? That's okay. We have the love of God. Amen? So in other words, there's not an opening. Right now, don't try and prophesy because this is not going any further. We need to pray separately and then come back together and discuss from a place of maturity. Amen? But this is what happens. People will go, oh yeah, I was in that service. Oh, it was good, but that word's really not for me. You sure? Are you sure?
Is it not for you because it's not what you want to hear? Or because the Lord said it's not for you? I know, we're going to get it. You think it's good now. Just wait till we get a little further in here. Why is it not for you? Is it because you heard it and go, well, I've heard those things before? That's disdaining. That's despising. That's looking at it and going, oh, that's a word. It's not that big of a deal, though. It's not that big of a deal. And when you do that, you're closing yourself off to the ability of that word to work in your life. You know, a lot of Christians are frustrated because they simply won't do what God told them to do. You know, there are people that their faith isn't working like it could because they have bitterness in their heart toward people. They have unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness, I'm not telling you you have to have ooey-gooey feelings for everybody. This is real love, not squishy human love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Come on. I'm not saying you have to agree with everybody that you're around, or even that you have to agree 100% with your family and your spouse and all that, but we as the church, as the body of Christ, we have a mandate and an anointing to love as Jesus loved. And I'm just going to tell you now, 2019 for us is going to be a year of depth of character and increase of character like never before in this body. And people say, yeah, but the prophetic word is, you know, the glory is going to manifest and we're going to see, you know, all these massive miracles and things like that. And I totally agree with you. We are going to see that. But I will take you back to this. And this is what I felt like from my heart, from what the Holy Spirit ministered to me. The anointing, the power is only as effective as the stability of the vessel. Or I'll give you a scripture for the scriptorians in the room. You have to have a wineskin for the wine. If you put fresh wine in an old wineskin, what takes place? It breaks. Why? Because the wine does what? It expands, correct? The molecules, you know, they're working in there, and there's this firm, and it expands. And if the wineskin's not good, what takes place? There's a bursting. So what does God not want us to do as he continues to increase and move in our lives and in our church? He doesn't want us to burst. How many have ever heard this? A chain is as strong as its... Just because... You enjoy the kids down there? Did you hear them? Wow! You know. It beats having no noise down there. Amen. Praise God. The church is the same way. God's design in leadership is not that the leadership does all the work. Now people think, well, you know, their mind will automatically go certain directions. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you today to hold your mind in and hear what the scripture and the Spirit of the Lord is saying so you don't go off on a tangent and miss something that he's trying to say. Amen? So hold your mind in check. But people think in order for God to accomplish what he wants, his entire design and his description of the church is given to us in the epistles. Paul, by revelation from the Holy Spirit, was given a picture of what the body of Christ is like. Jesus is what? The head. We are the what? The body. Is there order in your body? Is there organization in your body? Yeah, there better be. You know? If a person... has a disorder in their body, you call that, they're deformed, correct? They're deformed in some way. And we, you know, medically, different areas, we have things that can fix some of those things. You know, miracles happen. People's lives get, you know, changed and touched by God, and bodies get arranged correctly. But in the body of Christ, we all have a purpose. That purpose is not decided by us. Do you know that that God in creation established your purpose before you were ever born? He's eternal. So what do you mean by that? That means from the beginning, you were already mapped out. Your life was already mapped out by Him. He created you, gifted you, made you a certain way, a particular way that He wanted that could only be fully understood and expressed through relationship with Him, which is only possible through the blood and body of Jesus Christ to get back to Him. Amen? So you cannot fully understand what you are, who you are, your identity, your proper mentality about your giftings and all of those things without having a relationship with the Lord. It's not possible because He's the maker of you. How many have ever purchased something? Okay, some of you parents that have younger kids, you're about to experience this firsthand. You bought gifts for your kiddos that Dad's going to be required not to open any gifts because he's going to be spending hours putting that thing together if you didn't do it already. What comes with the toy? Now, we all know that those instructions are not accurate like God. Never have I found that to be true. But God, His instructions are perfect. They're perfect. Christ's understanding of you is perfect because He understands you on a molecular level. You know, people are wandering around today going, I don't know what I am. Well, if you would meet Jesus, you would. If you would open your heart to Him, you would know who you are. Your gender would not be an issue. Go ahead and preach, preacher. Okay, I will. Thank you. Your design as a man or a woman would not be an issue. Your design as a child of God would not be an issue. Your image of yourself will not be an issue the more you engage in depth of relationship with Jesus. Those things will go away. Why? Because He understands you on a level that you don't even understand yourself. And people think, well, I really know me. You don't know you like Jesus knows you. Because He knows you on all ends, top to bottom, spirit, soul, and all three parts of you. So when words come forth, when God's trying to do something specific, He'll give direction. He'll give instruction. He'll set up structures of organization that the church is a living organism. How many agree with that? We are living, moving being. But there's always organization in an organism. Otherwise, it's deformed. God doesn't want a deformed organism, the body of Christ, functioning in the earth. So what He does is He brings people together. He'll anoint people to do certain things, different parts. Now, everybody, every believer is anointed to be a witness wherever they are in their world every day of the week. That does not mean you have to stand up in the middle of wherever you are and try and beller, the Romans road everywhere you are. But it does mean that you are a witness. What does that mean? Being a witness means you are living as Jesus lived on the earth, being an expression where you are. Amen? Part of your witness, if you are a person that's employed by someone else, is you're a good employee. Do you know the scripture talks about being a good employee? How many business owners are out there and you would appreciate good employees? Sometimes the quote-unquote most spiritual people are the worst employees you've ever met in your life. And you know what you are? You're a poor testimony of the gospel. Don't tell people you go to this church. I don't know about that, preacher. Listen, I was a boss. I've hired and fired. I'm talking about in the secular world, not in this church. Okay? I work construction. I've ran jobs and worked under contractors. And some people who claim Jesus are the worst employees you've ever seen in your life. It's unacceptable. You get your rear end out of bed and get there on time. Okay, we gotta move on. All right, so prophecies will come forth, words will come forth, and the Lord says, don't despise those things. Have you taken time with those words that were given in your own life? And what has God spoken to you about them? Or are you just waiting for me to pray through your life? Somebody say amen. If you can't say, oh me. In other words, what have you done with it? I don't know if I want to say that. As the instruction of God comes forth from the church, either by teaching of the word of God or prophetic utterances, it is every person's responsibility to test and prove all things and recognize what is good and hold fast to that. Or we might say, find out our part and serve God in line with him and the leadership to accomplish the commission. I have heard it said through the years, and I already mentioned this, the church is not an organization, but an organism. This is true. But you have noticed organisms have organization. FFC, or Faith Family Church, is and will be an organized organism. Somebody say amen. Paul told Titus in Titus 1:5, he said this, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders," or we might say pastors, "in every city as I commanded you." In other words, God established structure and order in the churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to turn here. You don't have to, but I'm going to because I want to read this. It's similar to what Paul said through to Titus by the Holy Spirit. How many would acknowledge that Paul was anointed as a man of God? And he wrote some God-inspired utterance. Amen? All of it was. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 34. Just jot it down if you would. But it says this, "But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment." And then Paul makes this statement, and the rest I will set in order when I come. What was he going to do? He was going to set in order when he comes. And he told Titus to do what? He told him to set in order the things that are lacking. In other words, Paul's church that he planted wasn't in perfect running order yet. You know that Faith Family Church is not in perfect running order yet. But we are setting in order. Amen? It's going to be good. So what does this mean for Faith Family Church in 2019? I would say it means that each person taking time needs to take time to hear from the Lord on how they are to advance the kingdom of God this year. In our personal lives, in our families, in our businesses, and in serving the brethren in our church. Paul told the church, he said, through love do what? Serve one another. Serve one another. Part of your spiritual development is serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now nobody is saying that means you have to do every ministry in the church. That's ridiculous. But through the years, what I've seen is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Do you want to know why? Because the idea of serving one another is not very much fun. Tell me about prosperity again, preacher. Tell me about how God wants to heal my body again. Tell me about that. I really need that. Well, maybe there's an area of your life where the door's open. And it could be the door of service, and you might just need to shut that door by doing what God asked you to do, and then that will take care of that enemy that has an open door. Amen. I know things can be taken out of balance. I understand that. But you don't want me to short you any scripture, do you? Hallelujah. I believe this year is going to be a year of removing and pruning in our church. Removal of dead things and pruning of living things in order that we can bear kingdom fruit more kingdom fruit than ever before. God is going to put his hand on things in our lives, and we are going to be given the opportunity to have things removed and pruned. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. God is going to put his hand on things in our lives, and we are going to be given the opportunity to have things removed and pruned. How many would say, I'm for pruning?
Oh, this is where we're going.
The interesting thing about that statement to me is this. We get the opportunity. Do you have to take an opportunity? Does God make you do what he wants you to do? You get a choice. You get a choice. You can choose him or not. You know, many times I have sensed, and the Lord's been dealing with me about this in my own life, about certain things. Pruning things out, taking things out. Many times there are things that we understand in Scripture that we know the verses are there and we're not doing them. And it's like leaving the door open, the front door to your house open. Anything can come in. You know, there's this popular idea today in the church that Jesus did everything so you don't have to do anything. When it comes to getting to heaven, I'll agree. When it comes to functioning here on earth, obedience is required. Well, I don't like that. God's not the one that has to adjust. I said, God's not the one that has to adjust. We have to adjust. You know, the Lord's really helped me and Heidi get out of debt this year, and really just, he's blessed us big time. And we're more freed up to do what he wants us to do than we've ever been in our lives. You know, for years, I quoted prosperity scriptures and never prospered, really. You say, why? Because I never had a budget. Well, that's not how that works. See, you can't read the scriptures on financial increase and ignore the ones on discipline with your finances. That's not how it works. People say, well, you know, I just believe those other ones are going to work. Well, see, you can't pick the ones you like. You know, it's like, Lord, I want to develop spiritually. And he says, I want you to go and be a blessing to someone or serve someone with no reward back to you. There's no pay. And people will go, well, no, I don't really want to grow that way spiritually, Lord. I want... You know, if I serve in that area, if I do this for this person, it means I won't get to do what I want to do. You are exactly in the place where spiritual maturity will take place at a level you've never understood before. And the whole time, guess what? When the Lord leads you to do something, oftentimes it doesn't feel good. You're going, you better get in their flesh. I'm going to grab you by the nape of the neck. You're going to smile at those people. What is that? Depth of character. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like doing this. So, is it the right thing to do? Did God tell you to do it? Then you adjust. Amen. How many know God's not picking on us? He's helping us. Amen. So I sense that this year has the potential to take us to a place of strength and depth of relationship with God that we have never known before. This is both individual and corporate. So let's go to Philippians 1 and we'll end right here today. We'll wrap it up right here. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3. I want you to see this and then we're going to get into what the Lord has for us. So this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippian church. You know what? Scratch it. Go to John chapter 15. I'm sorry. I got to follow my heart on this, okay? I'm going to get back there. You can read that prayer later, but I feel like I need to hit this one first. John chapter 15, verse number 1. Sorry about that, Jordan. Thank you, sir. That's great. See how quick he did that? He's got fast fingers back there. He's typing away. Jesus said this, I am the true what? Vine, and my Father is the what? Vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? That it may what? So first thing you need to understand this morning is this. When we deal with things that are difficult or challenge you at a character level, at a depth of character level, we need to understand this. God's heart in it is not that pain happens. His heart is that fruitfulness happens. Now, we talked about this in our leadership this morning, but I will say this. When there is pruning, how many know there's a cutting away of something and there will be some pain associated? How many ever had the Lord take something out of your life and you thought, how am I going to live without it? And it's been years now and you're like, what did I ever think I needed that? You know what I mean? Why did I ever think I needed that thing in my life? There will be some, as God deals with you spiritually to grow, you are going to have to deal with things in your life that it's going to feel like, oh, that got cut, and it did. But what was the motivation behind the removal? More fruit, right? So when we, and I'm not telling you, I'm not going to tell you what to do in your life. I'm going to read the scripture to you, and you're going to go, oh, I need to do that. The Holy Spirit's going to prompt you while you're sitting there, and he's going to say, you need to do this, and you're going to go, yes, Lord. Because some of it, you're going to go, but I really like that. And he'll say, look, if you will seek my kingdom first, I will add all things to you. But he's saying, I want to be first. Does he have the right? Not only by creation does he have the right, but by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has the right. There is no other, oh my goodness, what Jesus did is unprecedented throughout all the world and every other group, every other religious group. It's unprecedented. It's not even close. Jesus came as a man. God took on and put on flesh as a man, came and walked among men, demonstrated the Father God perfectly to all creation, did good things over and over and over and over again, did not walk in with a crown and a massive robe and a whole slew of angels behind him, but came in as a humble servant, took on the sin of all mankind, hung on a cross after being beat in his face, whipped on his back to the point that the scripture says he was unrecognizable, and didn't say, look, I'm proving to you that I'm God. He said, look, I'm proving my love to you, and I am the only way to the Father. He said, believe on me, receive me, and your sins will be forgiven, and you will be freed of all punishment of eternity in hell. Amen. To become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He prunes us. Why does he prune us? He prunes us because he wants us to bear more fruit. How many would like more fruit, God fruit in your life? He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Watch this now. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch, somebody say cannot bear fruit of itself unless it does what? Abides in the vine. If you have little fruitfulness in your life, it's because your abiding level is low. Yeah. If you want more fruit, you have to abide in him. If you want to abide in him and have more fruit, you have to allow him to prune you. If you don't want anything to do with him, you will be cut off and thrown into the fire. I know. Somebody say, I prefer Pruning over cutting off.
Okay. We got to make sure we get that out there.
He says this. Unless it abides in the vine. In other words, you can't bear fruit of yourself. That means you can't decide what you want to do for God. I said that means you cannot decide what you want to do for God. That means you have to hear from Him. Well, this is what I really like. Yeah, what did the Holy Spirit tell you to do?
Hallelujah.
He says, neither can you unless you abide in me. So your fruitfulness is based on abiding in him. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He says it again. He who abides in me, I wonder if he's making a point of that. In me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. Somebody say, I'm a much fruit bearer.
You should get a shirt that says much fruit. Let's walk around. You go, what's wrong with you? I bear much fruit. Then you can share Jesus with them.
For he says, you bear much fruit. Then he makes this statement, for without me you can do, you know, you could do something without him. You can do nothing. How many want to get to the end of your life and go, I did nothing? Now, people get to the end of their lives and they're like, oh, I made this much money, I have this, and I got this stuff, and I got and I accomplished this, and I started this. But if it wasn't done by the leading of the Lord, it's... See, what you don't realize is that you're not going to be judged based on your opinion. You'll be held accountable based on this. This is it. I don't want to get to the end, and the Lord says, well, you made it to heaven, Sean. What else do I get? Nothing. Just go ahead. Come on here. I don't want that. I'm not going to have that. Because I'm going to obey God. Amen? You're going to do that too? You're going to obey God? Do what you're supposed to do? Fulfill your call? Amen? All right. So he says this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. You feel like your life's withered? You should check. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Praise God for answered prayer. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my what? Disciples. See, God in this generation, and this is where we're at and this is where I'm going to wrap up right here. God in this generation does not want just converts. He wants disciples. Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and make converts. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Now, conversion is important. Conversion is right. We should have street evangelism. We should have people sharing the gospel and praying the what we call the sinner's prayer with other people. In other words, people being born again and receiving the life of God within them. But after that takes place, there needs to be a discipleship that takes place. What happens when we are born again is we exchanged vows, so to speak. When I received Jesus Christ into my heart, I said, Lord, I'm taking what you did for me into me. That I didn't deserve, I didn't earn it. You did it by your grace and by your mercy. And now in reciprocation with the understanding of discipleship, here is me. You gave me your all, even to the point of death, and then you raised from the dead for me, because I could not have done that on my own. It would take God to do that, so God did it. But in response to that, what do? I say, here I am, send me, Lord. Now, through the years in the church, what most people have done is they've done this. Oh yeah, that's what the preachers are supposed to do. No, the preachers are supposed to tell the church to do it too. And I'm not saying they haven't. They have. You are a minister of the gospel wherever you are, if you are born again. Now, if you're not born again, you're not. You got to get in the house first. Got to get in the family. Amen. You got to have the heart change. But once you're in, I don't care if you're a drywaller, a painter, a mechanic. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a banker. I don't care if you're a manager. I don't care if you're the janitor. I don't care if all you do is clean toilets. When you're there doing what you're doing, you are an ambassador of heaven washing toilets. Well, it doesn't sound very nice. It's majestic and glorious when you do it with Jesus. Jesus is not above cleaning toilets. And this year, I'll just say this. I've been praying about this. I know for our church, we're coming up. Excellence. Excellence. Coming up higher and higher in character, in excellence. Now, you can't just define it in your own mind what it is. We got to let the Bible define that. But we're coming up. Why? Because we're going to be strong vessels that are able to carry greater levels of anointing. Not just the preachers. You got to get this. I don't know. I'm going to have to get a crowbar to get this out of some people's head. Because they're used to being just the pew dweller. Oh, no, I came, Lord. What more do you want? Well, I can think of a few things straight off. And we're going to get into them. And it's going to be good. Why? Because you are going to be pruned. I'm going to be pruned. And we're going to bear much fruit. You know, some of the situations that people are dealing with in their lives are it's not a prayer issue that needs to happen. It's an adjustment in your life. Well, that preacher told me if I prayed, the Lord would answer. And he probably answered, and you might have jumped over the top of it. The Lord might have said, something simple like, work 40 hours a week. People go, but Jesus! Well, I just don't know why. This isn't working. Or I just don't, I'm always involved in these arguments. If you work 40 hours a week, you won't have any time to talk to anybody. Glory. Run, shout, jump. Some people have all the time in the world to correct everybody around them because they're doing nothing for anybody other than being a pain, a thorn in the flesh. I better move on. I better just thank you, Jesus. In other words, sometimes it's just character issues that need to straighten out. And as those prunings take place and you begin to make adjustments in your life, the Lord will begin to, that it'll open up the gates of the healing anointing for your body. It'll open up the gates of the blessing of God upon your life. Here's some of the most important things. It'll open up understanding and depth of relationship with Jesus that you haven't walked in. And that's the most important. When we get into some of these issues and we deal with them, God will begin to reveal things. And it's going to go, I don't know if I like that. Maybe I need to find another church. You say that never happens. Are you kidding me? I laugh it happens so much. Because if I don't, I'll cry. You got to pick one or the other. You know what I mean? Well, I used to like that guy's preaching. Till he got over into those other scriptures. Got into what? Other what? I don't know about you. I want fruit. I want growth. And God's saying, come to me. Let me prune. Let me deal. Give me a year and see what happens. See what changes. And we also know this prophetically. All the years that we've sown the word, we're about to have a bumper crop. So you'd be so blessed, you might not even mind the pruning. I said, you'd be so blessed, you might not even mind the pruning. Amen? Would you stand, please? Whew, hallelujah. I'll say this, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never received him and acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, you need to do it before you leave. You can come see me right after. I'll pray with you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. And he said, he made that clear, that he's the only way. So we want to give you that opportunity. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come. We'll pray for you, have you baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you need prayer for healing or anything like that, you know, we will pray with you. We'll minister to you. So don't leave without those things, because they are important. Amen. Let me just pray over you in general. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, your word is truth. Father, we will be humble in spirit and in mind. We receive your words. We're hungry for them, Lord. Father, we desire what you desire. We desire to bear much fruit. And we know, Lord, that in the process of our relationship with you, it is not you that needs to change, it is us. And so, Father, we commit, and just in your own heart, you don't have to say it out loud, but I'm going to pray in general, you agree. We commit and consecrate to grow more this year than we have. Lord, by your grace and by your ability, by your leading, by your strength, Father, we acknowledge that none of us has arrived at Christ-like perfection in our expression of what is already in us. Lord, that it is growing out and there needs to be pruning done. There needs to be change done so that your fruitfulness, your true peaceable fruit of righteousness doesn't get choked out by things that are not your goal or your desire. That the wind of your spirit can blow freely through the limbs of our lives, the branches of our lives. That the sunlight of the Son of God can come through and penetrate, and we can receive the nutrition properly that you have from that light coming through. That there's no choking out of the good fruit of the kingdom in our lives. So we commit that to you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing in this place. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God who reminds us of all things. Father, I bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us and help them to be fruitful with great and much fruit and multiplying as we honor and bless you and are obedient to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.